today on Living on Every Word.
You know, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he made a statement, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I mean, I know that when you go through trial and it seems to never cease, that it just seems like God's 100 miles away. God, why have you forsaken me? I'm going through a trial here and there's no relief. And God, why have you forsaken me?
Do you ever feel this way? That the trial you're going through is so difficult, the burden so heavy, that there's no end in sight? Well, in today's study, Pastor Mike Fritcher shares with us ways that we can overcome in times like these, in this study called How to Face Life's Trials.
Living on every word.
Father, we just come before you today. I'm so grateful that you have touched us, that you reached down from glory. The great God of the universe, Creator God, Lord, and you touched our lives. You touched us, Father, with your word. You touched us with your presence. Father, you touch us with your people, and we praise you today. And Father, we can sing of the day that you touched us that first time, but Father, we want to thank you that you keep on touching us, that you keep on moving in our lives. And Father, that you keep on using circumstances, whether they're bad or good, to touch our lives, Father, so that we might live this abundant life that you've called us to. And Father, I pray that we'd be grateful today. Now, Lord, I just ask in Jesus' name as we open the word this morning, that you'd encourage us. And Father, that your spirit would move. Father, that you would teach us right now, Lord. Teach us, Father, how to move through the times that we struggle. And Father, the times that we feel forsaken, times that we feel that you're so far away, I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that you might be honored and blessed. As a people would pick up the Bible today, open it, read it. But Father, pray with fervor that they might walk from this place to live by it. I pray that that would be our intention today, to not just hear your word, but to live according to it. I want to thank you for how you're going to work, Lord, and how you're going to move in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22. As we were praying, I just know that there's lots of folks going through lots of different things today. And I know that there's sometimes that we go through a trial that we just seem like it is never ending. That it is just always there. And sometimes trials do continue. I mean, it's just a fact of life. You live in this life, you're going to hurt and you're going to struggle. It's not a perfect world. You know, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he made a statement. The statement was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I mean, I know that when you go through trial and I go through trial and it seems to never cease, that it just seems like God's 100 miles away. It just seems that God's just not hearing my prayer, not hearing us. And I know that there's some of you that would say, I just don't feel like God's real in those times, so why should I even try? Why should I even move on? Why should I even cry out to God? But I find it very interesting that when Jesus Christ was bearing your sins and your sorrows and your griefs that we just talked about, that he himself said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Listen, there are times that you do feel forsaken. I mean, Jesus felt it on the cross. Jesus was God, but he was man, and he felt. He had all the emotions that you could ever think of having. I mean, that's why he's the great high priest that knows exactly what you're going through. He became man. He felt loss. He got sick. He felt the devastation of sin on that body. He did. I'm just telling you, he went through the things that you went through. That's why he's able to be this great high priest. And when you look at this passage of Scripture, this prophetic word in Psalm, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, I want to tell you, this is not just Jesus speaking. This is a prophetic word of the cross. But this is also David. David is asking the same question. God, why have you forsaken me? I'm going through a trial here. I'm going through a struggle here. And I'm crying out to you, and you're not hearing me, and there's no relief. And God, why have you forsaken me? I don't think that there's anything wrong with feeling that sometimes. I'm just going to give you permission. You can feel that. But I want to tell you, don't stay there. And don't believe it. I want you to notice what he says. My God, why have you forsaken me? Far, far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. I'm groaning and I'm yearning for this salvation, this deliverance, but it is so far from what I'm saying. It is so far away from me. I just can't even grasp onto that deliverance. I can't even see it. It's just so far from my groaning, so far from my lips, so far from my heart. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I have no rest. Yet, you are holy. Here's the first thing. You go through the trial, you think that you're forsaken, you're crying out, and there's no relief. Well, first thing that you want to do is praise the living God. You are a holy God. You are a holy God. I know I don't do this often. Sometimes I do it, and I'm going to do it right now. I want you just to say that with me. You are a holy God. You are a holy God. If you're feeling forsaken and you're going through trial and that deliverance is so far from your groaning, what did you just do? You got your eyes and your lips and your being off of that trial and that struggle and that feeling, and you got your eyes on Almighty God. You said, you're holy, oh God. You just praised Him. And the Bible says that He inhabits the praises of His people. He lives in the praises of His people. That's where He dwells. That's where He abides. And I want to tell you, when you catch that, when you really know that, that He inhabits your praises, in other words, all of a sudden He's coming, oh, He's praising me, I'm going to go abide with Him. I'm going to go live with Him. Now, oh, we know that God's already living in our hearts. Christ is already living in our hearts. But there's just something that just kind of dispatches the glories of God, the glories of heaven, that when I praise Him, the Bible says He's inhabiting me. He is living in me. He is manifesting Himself in me. It's the same thing when we make this our first response to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's a spiritual law. It's a spiritual principle. Praise Him and God comes running. Praise Him. God comes running. Now, please hear what I'm saying. I know He's here, and I know He's in your life, but there's just something about God running to me that I like. Yet thou art holy. You are holy, the Scripture says. You are enthroned. You inhabit the praises of Israel. In you, our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. Okay, so the second thing what I want to do is I want to trust God. I'm praising Him. And so since I've got my mind on Him already, and since I've gotten my mind and my heart off the struggle and off the grief and off the sorrow and off the circumstances and off the uncertainty, and I've put Him on God, I might as well just rest there, don't you think? So I'm going to praise Him and then I'm going to trust Him. Now, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3, if you would. I know this is a familiar verse. It's a refrigerator verse for some of you. Some of you, it's your life verse. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. You know what? Let's begin in verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching. Don't forget my word. Don't forget what I've told you. Don't forget how I've instructed you. It's a father talking to a son here. His father said, listen, I've taught you all my life. Don't forget my teaching. Don't forget my word. Let your heart keep my commandments. Why? Because length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. The word will add years of life and peace to you and to me. When you keep that word and you keep that commandment, that is the promise, that is the result, that is the fruit of that kind of sowing in your life. And do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. You want to have favor with God? Do you want to have favor with God? Do you want to have favor with God? I want to have favor with God. I want to have favor with man. I can't tell you how many times in my life that I've asked God, oh God, grant me favor today. In this circumstance that I find myself, grant me favor. Grant me favor with these people here in trying circumstances. And you know, when you have those kinds of just immediate thoughts, oh, to have favor with God and to ask that, do you know that I don't think that God's ever refused his favor on any time that I've ever asked, oh God, grant me your favor. You want to have favor with God, with man? It says, bind kindness and truth around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. In other words, listen, you're keeping the word of God. You're seeing length of days and peace. And then just what's on your heart and what's around your neck is kindness and truth. That's how I'm going to respond to people. I'm going to respond in kindness. And I'm going to respond in truth. It's about character. And then he says, you'll find this favor. And then he says, here it is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will make your path straight. Trust in him. I'm going to praise him. Even in the midst of feeling forsaken. Even in the midst of wondering why God hasn't answered my prayer yet. I'm going to praise him and I'm going to say, you're holy. And then I'm going to trust him. I'm going to rest in him. Now, trust is a very tricky word for you and me. It's hard to trust. You know, I just can't say, this is how you trust. It is something that the Holy Spirit of God has to do. But I can tell you how to know when you are trusting. Everybody who came into this place sat down in a chair today. I want to ask you, did anybody look at your chair and think, I wonder if that chair is going to hold me up today? Did anybody have that thought today? Not one of you had the thought that this chair was going to hold you up. You just sat down. Now let me ask, did you trust in this chair that you sat in? You trust it. I mean, you leaned back. You knew that it had balance. I mean, you didn't even think about the balance. If I lean back, will I topple over? You didn't have any of that thought. You came in and you trust in the chair. Now, I know some of you have been here a lot of times, so you have, you know, you've sat on this thing. But think about the first time you came and sat on one of these chairs. You trust it. I'll tell you, that's the kind of faith God wants you to have right now in the midst of your trial, in your circumstance. Sitting down in a chair without a second thought. Without a second thought that God is going to do anything different than his character proposes to do in this life. That God is a good God and he does all things good all the time in your life and mine. And even though I'm feeling forsaken, I know that God is at work and that he is doing. That's what trust is all about. I mean, when Jesus is speaking this, he is on the cross. He is nailed to the cross. And he is saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I know that we don't hear these words in the New Testament, but I believe that since this is a messianic psalm, I believe that he is quoting the whole song in his heart, in his mind. My fathers trusted in you. They trusted and they were delivered. They trusted in the character of God and you delivered them. Look at verse 5. Back at Psalm 22. We praise him, we trust him, and in verse 5, we cry out to him. There's nothing wrong with crying out to God. Matter of fact, there's power when you cry out to God. The power of crying out. Notice the next phrase, in you our fathers trusted, they trusted and you delivered them, and to you they cried out and were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. I want to suggest to you that when you cry out to God, it's an act of faith. They trusted and they cried out. This crying out is more than just, help me, help me. It is the anguish of the soul. It is the place that you are so ready for God to move, that you are ready to do anything and everything that God is asking you to do. You are ready to confess. You are ready to move with God. You are ready. You are ready to get out of the mess you got yourself into. One of the greatest psalms is Psalm chapter 40. Go on and turn there for a moment. Keep your place in Psalm 22. Psalm chapter 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me, and He heard my cry. This cry is a cry of anguish. It is a spontaneous cry that comes out of your heart, out of your mouth for the deliverance of God. Sometimes, I will tell you, this cry is a loud cry. This is not a soft cry. This is a loud, lamenting cry out to God. Sometimes it might even be the top of your lungs. Everything that you are, everything that you are inside is coming out of that mouth, that anguish to say, oh God, save me. Oh God, deliver me. Oh God, deliver my child. Oh God, deliver my mother, my father. Oh God, heal him of this sickness. Oh God, heal me of this sickness. Heal me of this disease. Heal me of this depression. Oh God, heal this marriage. Heal these emotions of mine. It is this cry of anguish to God. And I was going to tell you, I believe it is a spontaneous thing. It is something that you don't plan on. It's something that you don't say, okay, I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to cry out to God again. It is at that moment of anguish that you cry out. And I want to tell you, David cried out. And I don't know if he got delivered immediately because he said, I waited patiently for the Lord and He inclined to me and He heard my cry. Now, I want to talk about the delay of God for just a moment. Yeah, the delay of God. Sometimes God delays. And you can look at a couple of places in Scripture. One was the familiar story of Lazarus. Lazarus was laying sick. Everybody knew that Jesus had a particular liking to the two sisters, Martha and Mary, and their brother Lazarus. I mean, people would say, he just loves them. He loves them. And so Lazarus falls sick, and they come to get Jesus. And Jesus can go pretty quick, but Jesus delays the day. He delays, doesn't come. And Lazarus dies. And I mean, one of the first things one of the sisters says is, God, if you'd have come when we called you, you could have saved him. You don't understand. I can save him even now. And he said to her, he says, listen, I'm the resurrection of the life. Your brother's going to rise again. Do you believe that? Yeah, I believe that. I believe that one day we'll all rise again. That's what she said. No, no, no. He's going to rise again today. See, I think that if we had a different kind of perspective about God's timing, and if you look back on God's timing in your own life, you always know God's timing is impeccable. It just doesn't seem so right now, does it? But it's impeccable. God comes just at the right time. And He comes that day, and He raises that brother from the dead. Now, I don't know how happy Lazarus was about that, you know, but everybody else was happy around him, I'm sure. Sometimes God delays. It's another story. A story is in Daniel. And Daniel has this vision, and he starts fasting and praying for interpretation of the vision. And he fasts for 21 days, 3 weeks. He's praying and fasting for a word from God. The 21st day, he gets a tap on the shoulder from the angel, and the angel says to him, from the day you started praying, I was sent to bring the answer. But the king of Persia was withstanding me and fighting me for 21 days. Now, the king of Persia is not a flesh and blood king, believe me. It's a demonic entity that Daniel speaks of, God speaks of in Daniel. A demonic entity over Persia. And this angel's coming with an answer. But there is a war taking place in heaven. And for 21 days, he has to wait for that answer. What I love about this story is not specifically the answer, because I want to tell you, the answer will always come. It's the patience and the fortitude of that man Daniel, who would continue to pray and fast. The fortitude that would say, I'm going to stay here in this kind of position until God answers my prayer. That's trust. That's hope. That's spirit power in that man's life. And you know what, folks? We have a nature just like Daniel had. I mean, we are men, you're women, with the same kind of nature that this man had. And I want to ask you the question. When you look about David in Psalm 40, waiting patiently for God, how patient are you in the midst of the trial? Because I don't know about you, 21 days is a long time to pray about something. It just is. I mean, we are this instant society that says, isn't our God a microwave God? Just place it in the microwave and it just comes right out. You know, we have that kind of attitude that God owes me an answer today. And that God needs to come today. David, the Bible says, waited patiently for God. He heard the cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon the rock. He made my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God that many will see and will trust in the Lord. Feel forsaken? Feel forsaken? Scripture says, praise Him, trust Him, cry out to Him. But there's a fourth thing that I want to share with you from this passage of Scripture. I want you to notice what he says in verse 6. Remember, verse 5, they cried out, they were delivered. They trusted, were not disappointed. Verse 6, but I am a worm, not a man, a reproach of men and despised by people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag the head saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let Him deliver him. Let Him rescue him because He delights in him. Of course, it's a scene that you see at the cross. But I want you to notice, I am a worm, not a man, a reproach of men, despised by people. It's a fourth principle. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. You're going to praise Him. You're going to trust Him. You're going to cry out. And you are going to humble yourself. There is great power in humility. Matter of fact, it's probably the most powerful, potent principle in all of Scripture. Matter of fact, the Bible says that when you see yourself as poor in spirit, that's the only time you can ever have the kingdom of God. When you look at yourself and you see that you are no more important than anybody else in your mind, in your heart, when you look at yourself and you say, God, I deserve none of your grace and mercy. God, I deserve none of that. Matter of fact, the reason why I feel so forsaken sometimes is simply because of the mess that I put myself into. The pit that God's calling me out of and that I'm climbing out of is the very pit that I've dug for myself. I can look at trial and I can look at a lot of stuff that goes on in my life, and it's because of me, not because of anybody else. And therefore, I ought to humble myself before God and truly say, God, I don't deserve deliverance. I don't deserve your hand. Matter of fact, God, I'm just asking that you be merciful to me, the sinner. Have mercy on my life. Don't deserve it, but I sure need you today, God. I sure need you today. What I want you to do right now is bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? It was at the cross that Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, this thought could truly come to you in various different ways. You may be here today and you're just flat out disappointed about how things have turned out in your life. You may be middle-aged, past middle-aged, and it just didn't turn out the way you thought it should turn out. Praise Him. You are holy, O God. And I praise my great God. If you'll praise Him right now, the Bible says that He'll enthrone Himself upon those praises. He'll rule and He'll reign right now in your circumstance. So right now, praise Him. Glorify Him. Thank Him. You know, I say this again because when I'm praising God, there just seems to be a tenderness. There seems to be an intimacy. There just seems to be a closeness. And I finally can just go, whew, trust that You're the God of eternity. You're the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You were holy yesterday. You'll be holy today. You'll be holy tomorrow. And God, I'll trust today. I'll trust. I'll trust You for this afternoon, for this evening. I'll trust You for tomorrow. Oh God, we'll trust You, God. We'll just rest in You, Lord, today. Lord, we praise You. God, we glory in Your great name. We thank You for these circumstances around us. We thank You, Father, for this sickness today. We thank You, Father, for this grief today, this sorrow today. Lord, we don't understand it, but we'll lean not onto our own understanding, but we'll acknowledge You this day and trust You today. Some of you need the release today so that you can breathe easy. Breathe easy in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise Him. Trust Him. Cry out to Him. Knowing that you're not worthy, but He's worthy. He's worthy of my praise. He's worthy of my life. He's worthy of my trust. Praise Him, church. Praise Him. Oh God, we thank You so much. Father, that You have a word for us. Sometimes, God, we do. We feel forsaken by You. We wonder where You are. But, oh God, not today. Not today. You're a great, awesome God. Holy. Inhabit our praises today, God. Inhabit them. Oh, Father, may we go from this place victorious in Christ. Knowing that the circumstance still might be the same when we walk out of this place and we approach it. But I want to thank You, Lord. I want to thank You that You've called us to be overwhelmingly conquerors in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon this invitation, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Mike Fritcher is the pastor of Cottonwood Baptist Church near Dublin, Texas. If you would like to hear this broadcast or any other sermons from our audio library, or if you feel led to support this ministry, please visit us online at livingoneveryword.org.